Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, Yoga of the Supreme Person, text 11. Yatato yoginas chayanam pashantyat man yavasitaham yatantopya kritatmano naivam pashantya chetasaha yatantaha endeavoring yogina transcendentalists cha also enam this pashanti can see atmani in the self avastitam situated yatantaha endeavoring api although akrita atmanaha those without self-realization na do not enam this pashanti see achetasa having undeveloped minds. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. But those whose minds are not developed and are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, though they may try. Purport. There are many transcendentalists on the path of spiritual self-realization. But one who is not situated in self-realization cannot see how things are changing in the body of the living entity. The word yogina is significant in this connection. In the present day, there are many so-called yogis, and there are many so-called association of yogis, but they are simply blind in the matter of self-realization. They are simply addicted to some sort of gymnastic exercise and are satisfied if the body is well-built and healthy. They have no other information. They are called yatantopya kritatmanaha. Even though they're endeavoring in a so-called yoga system, they are not self-realized. Such people cannot understand the process of the transmigration of the soul. Only those who are actually in the yoga system and realize the self, the world, and the Supreme Lord, in other words, the bhakti yogis, those engaged in pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness, can understand how things are taking place. Itantob yoginas chayanam pashantyatma nivasitam itantob yogina itantopya kritatmano naiva pashanti chetasaha. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, though they may try to. Srila Prabhupada used to say that we, the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement, are good, or those, and everyone else is bad. So this is, we have to take it in context, of course. The idea is that good means to be actually conscious of what's going on and be able to do the right thing. And bad means to be not completely conscious of what's going on and therefore not be able to do actually what the right thing is. Or as Prabhupada writes in the famous verse, because they're all famous for us, 7:28, Yesham Andhikatam Papam, he writes at the end of the purport, the impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constant position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitution, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. So the personalists do not know, or most people don't know, forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. If you go to the law book here in Slovenia, you won't find that as an offense. that if you forget your causeless position is subordinate to the supreme law, then it's kind of considered a serious offense in the present system of law. But in terms of reality, it's quite an offense. And the result of the offense is that we're arrested by the illusory energy and we're put into a material body with a material mind and with material conceptions of life and with a false ego. Now, we may think that's not so bad because we like our body. Matter of fact, we wouldn't trade it for anything else. We'd like to keep it forever. Matter of fact, we love our body more than anything. The only thing second maybe is our pet dog. But that's a distant second. And the result is we not only we have this body, but we may get any kind of body. Right now we have a human form of life in a fairly civilized country with some facility easily available for getting the basic necessities of life. But there's no guarantee that, well, we know we're going to leave this body very shortly, and there's no guarantee what kind of body we're going to get. After you leave this body, you don't go to the big department store in the sky, and then you choose, oh, I'll take that one. Could I have that? I'll take a cat's body for a couple of years, and maybe I can get a demigod's body after that. Just want to see what a cat's like. No, they don't give us a choice. There's no choice. We leave this body and we just wake up sometimes 9 months later, sometimes earlier, and either we're flying around or crawling around or we're digging around or something. And we don't think, oh, I made a mistake. Could I have a retest? Maybe I can, you know, go back and I'll repent. I don't want to be an insect.
It's too late.
You have to go through a very long period, relatively long period of training, so you get back to the uniform of life again. And then if you misuse it, then you go through the whole thing again. And as it says, the only remedy is to become Krishna conscious. Krishna says, Naham prakasya sarvasha. Yogamaya samavrita mudayam navijanati lokayam ajam avyam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. So this is similar to here. For them, I'm covered by my eternal creative potency, Yogamaya, and so the deluded world knows me not, whom unborn and inexhaustible. As it explained here, that even transcendentalists who are engaged in a so-called yoga system, if they don't even know the basic principle that they're not their body, then they're just wasting their time. They may become flexible for a few years. And when they leave their body can easily be put into the coffin because it's quite flexible. But that's not the... It's not the reason for performing yoga. You sit in lotus posture, you know, and when they dig up your body some thousands of years from now, they say, oh, it was a yogi. He died in lotus. Padmasana, I think it's called. Yes, how fortunate. Now, the idea of the yoga system is at least to realize that we're not this body, that, what to speak of, yoga is supposed to be beyond the ordinary modes of material nature. But if one does not understand that he's not the body, then he's in ignorance. So no matter how much we stretch the body, it doesn't really make any difference. We have to stretch our consciousness so that we realize who we're not, at least. Even if we don't discover who we are, at least we should find out who we're not, namely this body. But, so that much one can find out by process of Varnashram. But even Varnashram is indirectly serving Krishna, indirectly following Krishna's instructions. or an ashram is laid out through the instructions of Manu Samhita, and therefore there are certain rules and regulations that generally regulates our sense gratification and our means of economic development. So religiosity or dharma, which regulates one's type of economic development, for instance, vaishyas don't sell cows for slaughter. You can't be a vaishya. If you're selling cows for slaughter, then you're a Naradama. You're not a vaishya. The people you're hearing from and running the society or running your business or anything are shudras, then you're not a kshatriya. You're not a manager. You're a maya pritigana. You're a mental speculator. And if you have so-called knowledge and you don't recognize God, Krishna, as the supreme, as the object of that knowledge, then you're not a Brahmin. You're an asuram bhavam ashritya. You're a demon. I can't remember the story entirely, but one professor came to see Prabhupada, an Indian professor, and Prabhupada was talking to him, and he was explaining that Krishna is God. And the professor said, well, I don't really believe that. Indian professor, Hindu, Indology. Because one time Prabhupada asked a professor in Indology, which means studies of Hinduism, can you please give me a definition of Hinduism? And the learned professor from a big university said, I don't know. Can you tell me what the definition is? So Prabhupada turned to Swarup Damodara Maharaj, who was at that time a PhD, a professor of chemistry. And he asked him, so here's a professor of Indology from a big university, study of Hinduism, and he's asking me what the definition of Hinduism is. He doesn't know, and he's a professor. So what do you call that, Swarup Damodara? So Swarup Damodara said, he's a cheater, Prabhupada. He's a cheater. And to this other, of course, Prabhupada could preach like, if we did like that, we'd simply cause agitation. But Prabhupada had the respect that he was able to point that out to people. We just think about it within our minds, oh, he's a cheater. But Prabhupada could actually say it for some benefit to the people that he was talking to. Like one time, some professor who was of Indology, another Indian, came, and he wouldn't agree that Krishna is God. So Prabhupada said, you're a demon. And he tried to interrupt. He said, I'm not a demon. No, you're a demon. Kept on calling him a demon. And then the man realized that, actually, I'm a demon. And he fell on the ground, and he started to cry. He said, I'm a demon. I'm a demon. I'm a demon. And the Prabhupada got up and left. And the man didn't know Prabhupada had gotten up and left. He was still on the ground. I'm a demon. I'm a demon. Actually, Mula Prakriti Mataji brought him there. And he kept on looking at when Prabhupada was calling him a demon, he kept on looking at Mula Prakriti for support. And she wouldn't give him any. She just turned away. She wouldn't look at him. So he's getting more and more agitated. Then he realized he was a demon, and he fell on the ground. I'm a demon. Because if we did that, they'd start calling us a demon. Now, you're the demon. But Prabhupada was able to, especially with the Indians, they gave him some respect, and he was able to do that. The point is that without knowing Krishna, people are a demon. That's what they are. They're just. That doesn't mean they have two horns and they have a tail. It means that their mentality is bewildered by the modes of material nature. They're called asuras. That's what means a demon. They don't accept the scripture. And the scripture says that Krishna is God. And if they don't accept that Krishna is God, then they're covered by the illusory energy. And if they're covered by the illusory energy, then they don't know what Krishna is saying. They don't do what Krishna is wanting, what he wants them to do. And therefore they're called asuras. They don't know the goal of life. They don't know the goal, how to achieve it. And therefore they're just going to be stuck in material bodies, birth after birth. Now the object is not just to call people names and feel good that I'm a good person and they're a demon. The idea is that people are unfortunate, that they're stuck in the material concept of life. We're also unfortunate that we're in the material concept of life, but at least we're trying to make some effort to get out of our misfortune. If someone has a knife in their back, they're very unfortunate. But if someone comes along and says, I think you have a knife in the back, and they deny it, what are you, criticizing me? You don't like my back? Well, there's a knife there. Well, why don't you just move it a little bit further in and then it'll go away? Better if you have a knife in your back, ask someone to take it out. That's the most intelligent thing to do. Not ignore it or dig it in deeper. So when people can realize that's our mission, is to help them realize that they're taking one body after another because they've forgotten their relation with Krishna. Now, as I said many times, a reasonable person with some amount of intelligence could accept the fact that we're not this body, that the body's changing, but we're not changing. A reasonable person can understand that. Now, if people can't understand that, then maybe they can understand that, as Prabhupada once told Professor Gutowski, that at least they should be a good person. They should develop qualities like austerity and mercy and cleanliness and truthfulness. At least they should try to become a good human being. And if they can't accept that, then there's nothing more we actually have to tell them. Because if they don't want to be a human being, there's no question of understanding that they're not their body. Obviously, when people can't understand that they're not their body, it's because there's the illusory energy covering them that won't allow them to do it. That's because they're sinful. They're performing sinful activities, which means ultimately they just won't accept any principles of God consciousness. They won't accept the fact that their body was given to them for any other purpose other than sense gratification. And therefore they are punished by the laws of material nature. And the greatest punishment is they can't even understand when something as simple as the fact that their body is changing, but they're not changing, is explained to them. Now, if someone can understand that or is reasonable, then they should also be able to understand how they're not controlling the universe. The universe is controlled by time, which is changing everything, including their own bodies and everyone's body, changing everything in the universe, although it's not changing us as a soul, but everything that we're experiencing is changing. And it'll keep on changing under the laws of karma, under the laws of karma, time is changing everything here in the universe. And we'll keep on having one changing experience after another as long as we're in this universe. And it's not under our control. There's nothing anyone can do to stop time. There's nothing we can do even to change the modes of nature, except to surrender to Krishna, either directly in this age by chanting Hare Krishna, or indirectly by accepting his instructions through varna and ashram, which more or less, as I said, is controlling our mind and senses to some degree in our economic development and our sense gratification. So, and that means following Krishna's directions indirectly, at least to some degree. One may not know Krishna very well, or one may not be extremely interested in finding out about Krishna. But as long as one accepts that Krishna is the authority and that we should follow his instructions, then one will be benefited to at least go from the lower modes of nature gradually through that system to the higher one, until finally one becomes sinless enough, one can accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then try to act spiritually rather than just piously. But that rests with everyone in the human form of life. Most people are interested in becoming important in the material world, either in the economic social system that's present within society, which means to make money and buy things and control things in the material existence, or So that's one kind of interest that people have in minor society. Or they can take an interest in finding out who they are, what the purpose of life is, etc., etc. So that's the choice. Either they're going to follow the ways of life, as it says, trying to enjoy the material nature, trying to control the material nature without any concern about what the future, having their own idea about the future. Maybe we all disappear when we leave this body. It's a farewell, goodbye. And we just kind of merge into nothingness. And that's the end of the story. And if people actually believe that, then why do they put these tombstones up? Why do they spend so much money on the casket? So after they leave their body, that the body can be comfortable. They even have one place in America where you can be buried in a coffin and they pipe music into the coffin. You have to choose the music though before they have varieties of music you can choose from. But you have to choose the music because it's very hard for you to change the channel. They don't even have anything. You have to choose and then they pipe into the channel. If you like country western, is for years and years, it's just like, oh my God, it's not so bad being dead. Nice music, at least. I'm a little hungry. Looks like I'm losing weight, but it's all right. The music's good. Some people actually believe that they're going to disappear. Why are they worried so much about the coffin and it should be nicely padded? A padded coffin for a dead body. Make it comfortable. You never see the bones rising out from the coffin say, this place is, you know, it's pretty uncomfortable. I need a pillow. Can you put a pillow in?
My neck hurts.
I think I'll go for a walk. No, people actually don't believe, most people don't really believe they're going to disappear. They just don't know what to think, what to really believe. Because they don't think, because the illusory energy doesn't give the intelligence to even consider or think very deeply about anything. But if someone is fortunate enough in this age to come in contact with Krishna consciousness and take it seriously, then gradually our clouded minds will become clearer as time goes on. Right now we're anesthetized by the illusory energy. And therefore we're just like a person who's been given some anesthesia looking at everything. It's kind of all like very unclear. I remember when I had my tonsils taken out when I was like probably 7 years old or five, whatever it was. And they put at that time they had this gas or something. They put a mask on you and you just go, ooh. Kind of disappear into the background. Then you wake up and then they give you ice cream. So we're just like that. We're asleep and we're actually believing halfway that what I'm seeing is real. The other halfway we can't hardly see anything. We can't really understand what's going on. But by the practice of Krishna consciousness, gradually we can wake up and then we'll understand how everyone is just dreaming. They're dreaming that there is no Krishna, and therefore it's their duty to take Krishna's place here, to try to take Krishna's place, so they can do a better job than Krishna. Somehow or another, there's climate change, so we have to send our airplanes around and put all these chemicals into the atmosphere because Krishna is putting climate change. It's created because somehow or another God is asleep, and he's creating all this bad climate change, so we have to take care of it ourselves. They can't consider that actually all these things are going on because they're sinful. Instead, they want to become more sinful to make things better. Like here in Europe, they declared that because CO2 emissions, there is disruption in the climate. And the ones who are most culpable, have the greatest doing the ones who are most responsible for the climate change are the cows. Because they're passing gas all the time. They keep on eating all the time, so they're always passing gas. And they're creating all the problems with the CO2. So the solution to the climate change is kill the cows. So they declare they're going to kill 50,000 cows to help the atmosphere. They don't realize it's because of the cow killing that all these climate change, all these disruptions in the weather is going on. So they want to do it more. So that means, as Krishna says, the more people turn away from Krishna consciousness, then the more they lose their intelligence. And therefore they always, as Krishna says, adharma dharma itiya manyate tamasavritaha sarvatam viparitam cha buddhisaparta tamasi. They think religion is irreligion, and irreligion is religion, and therefore they're always striving in the wrong direction. So this is throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining that. If they reject him, etam drishtim avashtavya, nashtatmano na buddhaya, pravanya kukarmana, shaya jagato hita. Following such conclusions and laws to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So they think we're crazy, and they think they're doing everything right. They think if only people became more sinful, then things would improve. The problem is that people are not sinful enough. Just like, as I said, they had the Mardi Gras every year in New Orleans. And for 1 week, millions of people actually are on the street, and they're having a marathon to see how many sinful activities they commit. They kill animals on the street and cook them on the street. Illicit sex is everywhere. No one is allowed there, practically speaking, if you're not intoxicated with some kind of drug or alcohol. And that goes on for 1 week. That's called the Mardi Gras. So the devotees, out of compassion, 1 year they decided to go out and do Harinam in the middle of the festival, so-called festival. So they got out of their van, they started to chant Hare Krishna, and immediately the police came and arrested them and charged them with disturbing the peace. The peace, you couldn't even hear yourself breathe or think. There was so much noise. They have everything's blasting rock music 24 hours a day. Even the dead wake up. You see in all the cemeteries, all these skeletons wake up because there's so much noise. And they charge the devotees with disturbing the peace. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Is it suitable to pray for to Krishna to help to remove the illusory energy to others, or is that dependent on the ordinary free will or on theirs free will?
Well, it's up to them, but we can always pray for someone that Krishna can help them. He can help them. He's not incapable. He's helping us, so he probably could help other people too. But it may be more difficult for them, that's all. But Krishna isn't very intelligent. He's been doing this since time immemorial. Yes, he knows more or less what to do. He's quite ingenious in these things. Anything else? Yes. Give her the microphone. Okay. Well, give her the microphone then. Oh,
okay. My best is Maharaj. From April of this year, I joined to Bhakti Yoga process. And I have a little company. And if I understand correctly, that that you said if you have a little company that you are a little manipulator.
Well, of course, if you have small business, you have small money, too.
She's wondering if it's compatible if you have a little business.
No, you should have a big business.
And bhakti yoga.
You should make a lot of money so you can give it to Krishna.
What does it mean? Does she need to sell the firm? Or?
To be, if you can get a bigger one. No, what I, no, what I was saying, most people who are not devotees, who are not using their energies in Krishna's service, they're simply trying to manipulate the material nature to get more money for more sense gratification because they don't know of anything else to do. But if someone has a business and they're trying to become a devotee, that's completely different. In other words, presently in society, there's no dharma, there's no understanding what life is meant for. So that's what they have to do. They think life is only meant to make money and enjoy the senses. But for people who have know that life is meant to make money and do what's necessary to enjoy or to satisfy the senses, so we can cultivate Krishna consciousness, so we can become liberated and go back to Krishna. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. So we're not trying to take things away from people. We're trying to add religious principles to their lives. So then their lives will become purposeful and have a proper direction in life.
What's so that? She can still have the business.
But you should make it bigger. If you can. Anyhow, it doesn't really matter how big or small. But everyone has a business. That's why, you know, we don't see anyone starving to death here. Everyone has to do some kind of economic development. Even the devotees or even a Brahmin, he has to have some economic development. You know, to be able to beg nicely. You know, it takes some talent to do it. People who don't know how to beg, they don't get any money. Even begging requires some expertise. All right, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.